think we are living in a day and age where there's more awareness as well? Because I did our 30th anniversary Falklands project, and I spent 4 months speaking to veterans like yourself who had some horrible stories to tell, but they get on all right. So, you know, so a couple of the guys had issues. Another chap speaking to me ended up going back to counselling again because it brought a lot of stuff up. Do you think, you know, that's the sort of bracket that sort of think that there is a stigma attached now, or maybe the younger generation of armed forces personnel actually realise that, like you say, it is good to come forward and ask for help? Do you sort of feel that there's sort of a lost generation in the middle there, you know, with some of the older veterans that think it's still embarrassing and not very manly to come forward and ask for help? I suppose it's a tough one.
I always think when you go to reunions, and I go to the Falklands reunions and other things of that ilk, and you look around and you count how many people are there, and the people that are there have got the blazers on and they're wearing the medals and the beret and they're chatting about things, and they're not the ones you need to worry about. They're the ones who come to terms with it. What you've got to do is do a count up and think, where are the ones who aren't here? Are they sitting up at 3 o'clock in the morning looking out of the window? How are they functioning? How are they coping? So you've got to be careful that you can look at a reunion and see a percentage of the people and think all's well. But you've got to think about the percentage who aren't there and how they're dealing with things. Because I think, certainly after the Second World War, there was a lot of people there who were deeply troubled. And it carried forward for many, many years.
Is that the sort of thing that's actually prompted you to sort of get behind something like T4V and catch people while they're young? Because so many people have, like you say, disappeared, slipped through the net, I suppose.
Well, I think if we can produce a product which is run by peers so that Royal Marines and sailors, because it will be expanded for the sailors as well, can go and see somebody who is cut from the same cloth as them, who's an ex-serviceman, an ex-Royal Marine, an ex-sailor, who can empathise with them, can understand what they've gone through. I think it makes all the difference. Straight away you feel you're amongst friends, and that's an important factor for people to come forward.
How much training do these practitioners get then? Because, you know, at the end of the day, they're not trained psychologists or counsellors or whatever. I mean, how much training are they getting?
No, I mean, to be honest with you, a lot of the training is pure common sense. And a good majority of them have held rank, you know, sergeants and colour sergeants and officers. So they've already got sort of interviewing skills from their time in the service. But we hone that skill up and we improve it. And you ask how long they train. Well, we do two modules over two weekends. So in essence, we've got about 5 days training that they do. Fairly intense, long days. And they go through various tests, you know, along the line. Observational test bias, where we watch them to see that they can do the work. And then they are ready to become trim for veteran practitioners. But that's not the whole story, because they have mentors, they have supervising officers. So if they're stuck with something that's difficult, they're not having to deal with it on their own. They pick up the phone, they ring me, they say, I've got this case here, you know, what should I do? Where should I go with it? And we give them the advice, and if necessary, we go up with them and accompany them on the next visit.
And these visits, you know, people's appointments, say a year after, you know, where do they take place? Would people come to you, or do you go to their homes?
No, we go
to where they feel most comfortable.
Well, yes, I mean, I was going to say we go to their family home, but the criteria for where we go is where they're comfortable for us to attend, and that's really the criteria, wherever they want to be. We're fairly insistent it's not in pubs.
No, fair enough. And I know you said obviously it's a pilot, so you don't know yet, but what happens in a year's time if, and you have said that you're not going to see people year on year on year, what happens in a year's time if people are still struggling to cope? I mean, is that when you start really pushing towards, you know, going to the NHS and other services like I don't know, combat stress or...
Yeah, well, if somebody... if we get a report in that somebody's having a problem, and it usually comes through the Royal Marine Association, but it can come through other sources. I mean, we take that... Anybody who goes onto our website, we would, you know, we would... And say, I've got a problem, could you help? We would respond to that. So it's not the dead hand of bureaucracy that sits over there. We would respond, and we attempt to try and respond within 3 days. So we tend to get somebody there. We'd go and see the person, and we'd ascertain what the issues were. And then we'd look where to signpost. So down here in Portsmouth, you've got the Portsmouth Outreach Centre, which is very good. But there's combat stress. They do various courses, the short courses, the longer courses. There's, you know, I mean, going to see your GP is an excellent thing. They've got lots of experience. But we would signpost them to where they could get the right help. And we do other things as well. We sit down and work with them on action plans. So you sit down there and you write an action plan. And some of it may seem very simple and almost banal, really, but, you know, ensuring you have 2 hot meals a day, take a certain amount of exercise. I mean, things we touch on, which is always a bit sensitive, but it needs to be touched on, is, you know, when people are having lowness of mood, sort of straying into depression, you know, things like personal hygiene can slip, and it may be, that might be a thing we need to add onto the action plan. So when they look at it, and servicemen, we like structure, we like our daily orders, and in a way, the action plan is your daily orders. What, how you get through the day, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, I suppose it's people are so sort of like, you know, absorbed into that whole sort of regimented idea, structure, like you say, that is like bred into you the minute you walk through the door. To have all of a sudden nothing, no sort of team around you, or, you know, that sense of belonging, I suppose, in that sense, you know, giving people therapy in that essence is, you know, a very, very productive way forward.
Well, it's not medical therapy. It's
advice, like you say.
Yeah, it's advice. And it, you don't have to actually be in the service and structured. Sometimes, you know, if you're a civilian, you sometimes need a little bit of structure when you're not in a good place to come together. And we will talk to people about their times in the service. And for a lot of people, when they're having a bad time of it, what they saw in the service is like a picture, and it's shattered, that picture. And what we tend to try and do is just bring the picture back together again, so the pieces all start to touch again, and they can recognise the picture there in front of them, and that's useful for them.
Okay, this is the $64,000 question for you then. I mean, it's a pilot project, but what are you hoping to achieve? I mean, I know it's a huge spectrum, really, but in your ideal world, what are you hoping to achieve with it?
In my ideal world is that the phone never rings because everybody's well. But I think that's a fairly hopeless... what I'm looking for is when people feel troubled that have been in the Royal Marines and the Royal Navy, because that's who I'm working with and that's who I'm commissioned to work with, that they know that they don't have to look out the window at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering what the meaning of life is, that they can pick a phone up and somebody will come and see them within 3 days. And if they need additional help, we'll get them that help. And for those that don't need to actually go into some therapeutic intervention, those that just need a bit of a little less isolation, a bit more comradeship, we can bring in to our groups, we can go through these issues. And one of the things I didn't mention, I mean, we talked about doing a bit of exercise and doing that, but the other thing is that they do is they swap their telephone numbers and their addresses, and they make contact. So people don't just rush off afterwards, they go and sit in Starbucks or some other place and they sit and they chat after we've chatted to them. And they just yak. And at the end of the day, with people that have got mental stress type issues caused perhaps by operational events, yakking is good. Talking the things through, processing it is excellent. Putting it into the right place in the right order. And if you process it, the brain will allow this to happen. And you tend to find you have happier people.
And T4V can be accessed by anyone. It doesn't have to be people who've just left this, like literally just
if
you know, 10 years down the line, I wanted to come see you, I could, couldn't I?
30, 40, 50 years, there is no bar.